Nick Laughlin, Senior Director of Content at the Morning Consult, now joining us here on 720 WGN. We're talking about influencers and how people connect to advertisers. This is interesting stuff as we look to the future, and the future, by the way, could be in the next 10 minutes because this is going on right now. Nick, good morning. Thanks for taking time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what do we got going on here, Nick, as far as you've got people on social media who other people are following, and they now want to buy products that these people endorse because they're more authentic than your standard advertiser. There's the shifting going on right now that's very interesting.
Yeah, so the influencer market has grown about 50% year over year for the last 5 years. We wanted to look at how young Americans are actually interacting with these people, whether this is a growing space. Well, we know it's growing, how much it's growing, what people expect from influencers, why they follow them, what gets them to make a purchase based on something an influencer promotes, et cetera. And what we found is that influencers have really become a major part of the social media landscape for young Americans. Teenagers, especially, are increasingly likely to follow many influencers. They've just become, you know, routine, like it is to follow your friends. You follow some of these people, and increasingly influencers are making a big impact on consumer decisions. People are about a majority of Americans say they've or a majority of young Americans say they've made a purchase because of a post they've seen on social media. And for Gen Z women in particular, it's actually the most common source for learning about new products. So it's definitely an exciting space.
So, and it varies by platform, correct? I mean, you've got YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter and Twitch and TikTok. So, like, which of the platforms by itself would you say is, I guess, having the most influence right now?
It's really a split between YouTube and Instagram. Platforms like Snapchat and especially for younger Americans, TikTok, are growing increasingly in popularity, but most of the influencer action, at least at the moment, is happening on YouTube and Instagram. Among men, it tends to be skewed towards YouTube, and among women, it's a little bit more Instagram, but that's pretty much it. And then for older millennials, there's still a lot of them say that they're following influencers on Facebook, but there's a huge drop-off between people who are, you know, in their 30s and teenagers who basically don't use Facebook at all now, or they use it very lightly. They don't use it anywhere near as heavily as Instagram and YouTube.
Right, so I'm thinking of the parent that's driving around right now who's probably on Facebook and doesn't necessarily understand what their kid is doing watching TikTok all day long. And,
right.
You know, and I've checked out TikTok, and you've got people dancing to different songs in the last 20 seconds, and I'm sitting there like, could that 16-year-old person, could that person, quote-unquote, be an influencer and actually make their own money if they're just that good at being entertaining, dancing to different songs, and somehow they could actually build a following? I mean, is that even realistic?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we see increasingly brands are finding that they have more success reaching out to influencers who have smaller platforms, but who are really like, you know, if you're following them, you're following them almost like you're following a friend more than you're following a celebrity. And when your friend recommends a product, you're a little bit more likely to trust that than if a celebrity follows it, because it seems more like a genuine interaction, at least if the product you're promoting makes sense given what your existing brand is. I wouldn't say that there's too many people who have already built influencer platforms based on dancing around on TikTok necessarily, but certainly if you're an Instagram personality and you have a few thousand followers, you post a lot about fashion and makeup, there's a real interest from brands to try to get you to talk about their product in a way that seems organic and genuine.
So you're saying you don't need a million followers, even if somebody has 5,000 followers on Instagram, but you actually have a certain niche that you're attaching to that could be valuable.
Absolutely, yeah. I think the Wall Street Journal did some reporting on this recently that found that brands who entered this space early are increasingly shifting towards smaller influencer accounts than bigger influencer accounts, because there's young Americans are pretty good at sniffing out what is a paid post, what is a genuine post. I mean, the best case scenario for a brand is someone really likes your product and recommends it on their own. But the next best case is that you can pay them maybe a small amount of money to do that for you and make it seem like you're recommending it on your own, or that you genuinely like the product, even if you're being paid. It's a hard space to navigate. So it's still growing, but that's definitely a very valuable place to be.
Nick Laughlin, Senior Director of Content at the Morning Consult, with us here for a couple more moments on 720 WGN. That almost sounds like if you have a little bit of a following and you really do like a brand, you might want to reach out yourself. Like, hey, I really enjoy this. Would you be willing to do XYZ for me? And not on a huge scale, but maybe companies would be interested in that for those who are, you know, kind of playing in the I'm doing more on Instagram and or YouTube space.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things that we found that I thought was really fascinating was how many young Americans are willing to post sponsored content for brands if they get paid. It was actually 86% of young Americans say that if they were offered money to post about a brand that they liked, they would be happy to do that.
Of course.
And a majority, 54%, say that if they were given the opportunity to be an influencer, they would become one. So it's really become a commonplace thing to want to do this. It's really, there's a very large market out there, at least on the consumer side, to do this. The brands sort of still need to play catch up and meet this demand. But people are very willing to post for brands if they're given the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, we got about 1 minute here, Nick, but I'm seeing people want to be seen, and they also like, you know, and be known a little bit, and they also want to have some connection that's going on out there. That's why, you know, maybe you're not talking to people as much, but watching somebody on Instagram that you feel a connection to, that's something that's working for young people right now.
Yeah, we actually ask people, why would you want to become an influencer if they didn't want to become one? And the most common response among Gen Z was the opportunity to make a difference in the world, which is, you know, it's kind of funny because we don't really think of posting things on Instagram as making a difference in the world. But there sort of is like a bit of a higher calling here for some people who see it as a big opportunity to not just, you know, post about fashion or sports or whatever it is that you like, but also maybe to share your ideas and try to, you know, be a good person and project that outward.
Nick, appreciate the time. Good conversation. Thanks.
All right. Thanks so much.
Nick Laughlin, Senior Director of Content at The Morning Consult, Changing Times.